Most of you are aware that I spent my Christmas vacation in Connecticut with my father and stepmother, where my father had surgery at Yale University Hospital to remove a brain tumor. We remain reasonably certain that it is benign, though we need to wait on some pathology reports. But I want to begin with a word of thanks, first to a friend and colleague, Dan Bagby, who preached in my stead after Christmas so that I could focus on family. And I'm also grateful to you, my church family, for I have lost count of the cards and calls and text messages and emails, and if I have not yet responded, I probably won't, but I'll try. I'm working through that list. During what was a dark and fearful time for my family, you lit a candle, providing us warmth and light, and for that I am grateful. Grateful also for how you loved and cared for me during what has been a difficult season of family concern. But enough about me. How was your Christmas? You look worn out. Was it all the holiday merriment? The countless get-togethers, all that shopping you did? I heard a story once about a husband who asked his wife what she wanted for Christmas. And she said, "Honey, just surprise me." So it 3 a.m. on Christmas morning, he leaned over in bed and shouted, "Boo!" And I think that surprised her. Sometimes it's hard to shop for our loved ones. I have learned the great art of spouse gift giving. Two rules that I follow: nothing with a power cord attached, and the more it sparkles in the light, the better. That tends to keep me in good shape. And I don't know if the wise men from our story today had a hard time shopping, but we do know that they brought three very interesting gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You're probably aware that we don't really know if there were three wise men. There could have been three or 33, I suppose. We just assume there were three because there were three gifts, but who knows, really? Scholars are fairly certain they were men, though. If there had been wise women, they would have brought diapers for Jesus. At least a frozen pizza so they wouldn't have to cook. No, Matthew doesn't tell us much about these mysterious travelers from the East. In Greek, the original language of the New Testament, they're called magi. And the magi were an educated class in ancient Persia. So I suppose that's why most English Bibles call them wise men. But Matthew isn't the first to imagine mysterious visitors from the East. The first was Isaiah, some 600 or so years earlier. Isaiah is speaking to the people of Jerusalem, struggling to rebuild their city after two generations of exile in Babylon. And when the grandchildren of those who had been taken away finally come home to a place they've never been, they find not their glorious city, but rather empty ruins. So Isaiah urges them to dream again, to open themselves to new possibilities and new people. He writes, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and everyone proclaiming the glory of the Lord. So Isaiah's context is not altogether different from Matthew's. Matthew is writing to a group of baby Christians who've already developed what we might call spiritual cataracts. In an effort to preserve the purity of this new Christian movement, some have settled into this idea that new life in Christ was only for them. Everyone else was to be kept out. So Matthew, like Isaiah, asks people to dream again. He wants them to know that in Jesus, God is doing a brand new thing. That the gospel isn't just for some people, it's for all people. Not just for men, but also for women. Not just for the perfect, but for the fallen and wounded and broken. Not just for the hometown crowd, but for those who live on the other side of the tracks. Not just for those who believe just like we do, but also for those who struggle to believe anything at all. So Matthew, perhaps inspired by Isaiah, tells us this story of the Magi. Magi is the word from which we get our English word magic or magician. And in the ancient world, these Magi were astrologers, fortune tellers, enchanters, and magicians of varying degrees. Frankly, you were more likely to find them at a carnival than the royal palace. Matthew seems to be saying that the shocking thing is that these Gentile outsiders, knowing only what they saw in a star, turn over their gifts, all they have, and fall down awestruck in this undeserved epiphany. This is classic Matthew, church. In addition to including these pagan magi, Matthew tells us that it was dirty peasant shepherds who are the ones that hear the voices of angels and feel their hearts pound with joy over the good news. It's Matthew that tells us that it was to a poor and frightened young girl named Mary that the Spirit came and who bore the Christ child. And it was to a simple carpenter named Joseph that the angel spoke and entrusted to him to love, protect, and nurture a child that everyone in town whispered was fathered in lust. And even though the child grew, Matthew's cast of characters remains the same. Children, the blind, prostituting women, tax collectors, Gentiles, sinners, rejects, and outcasts. All of them are searching for and finding a kingdom where masters become servants, where the lost are found, where riffraff are admitted to the banquet table, where nobodies stand up and are counted, where peasants are crowned kings, and where the meek inherit the earth. And through it all, Matthew is telling us this. The gospel story is not just for some people, it is for all people. So off the Magi go. They find the Christ child. They fall down and they worship him. And had they not been warned in a dream, they might have gone back to Herod and told him of their adventure, which would have been dangerous, of course. Herod had murderous intentions. So being great believers in dreams, these Magi, Scripture says, go home by another road. In other words, they are changed somehow. They can't go back the same way that they came. Because this encounter with the Christ child changed everything forever. I wonder this morning if we are that daring. After our celebration of Christ's birth, after we waited 4 long weeks in Advent to visit the child, are we willing to return home by another road? As we begin 2019, will we leave this sanctuary just as we did last Sunday, or the Sunday before, or the Sunday before that? Or shall we be opened to the wild winds of God's Spirit, wherever they may blow? Even if that means we must take another road. What all this means, of course, is that we must be changed. And I know change is a dirty word in many churches. To be clear, I am not advocating discarding the way things have been done before or dishonoring those who have blazed the trail before us. No, I am suggesting that we honor their trailblazing by continuing their good work, always seeking new and different ways to reach out to others, just like God is always seeking new and different ways to reach out to us. And just as the Magi decide to go home by another way, so can we. We can resist the Herods of our time who try to kill the childlike wonder within us. We can resist those people who say, it can't be done. There's no way. We've not done it that way before. We can resist those who tell us, play it safe. Don't be risky. Get your heads out of the clouds. Quit following stars. Because frankly, those people don't know the first thing about following their dreams. I'm praying that 2019 will be a wonderful year for River Road Church. I pray it's a year in which we build upon the great legacy of history and faithful ministry that's been found here at the corner of River and Ridge. I hope we will build upon that legacy by continually asking ourselves, what new thing might God yet do? Or in the words of one of my favorite hymns, ponder anew what the Almighty can do. But we have to be willing to change. To have our hearts changed, our prejudices changed. No, it will not be easy. Just like the Magi, an encounter with Christ costs us something. But just like the Magi, an encounter with Christ gives us everything. And best of all, we can leave changed. If we're willing to go home by another road. Are we that daring? Are we that faithful? Amen.